This morning, I want to call your attention back to the writings of the Apostle Peter. And I want us to notice in 2 Peter chapter 1, and I say back to the writings of the Apostle Peter because yesterday I endeavored to preach some on this book. But this morning I want to begin in 2 Peter chapter 1 and begin in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. So he identifies himself up front as a servant of Jesus Christ, but not only a servant, but an apostle of Jesus Christ. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to pause just a moment and consider that expression, like precious faith. The Apostle Peter would describe the faith that God has given us as precious faith. You know, that word precious is not used very much in the Bible. The Apostle Peter did use it in his first epistle when he talked about the precious blood of Jesus. How many of y'all would agree the blood of Jesus is precious? It is beyond. You know, in that passage, the Apostle said, we're not redeemed by such corruptible things as silver and gold. Now, in our world, we refer to silver and gold as precious metals. And they are economically very precious. They've held their value. In a way, gold and silver is God's money. God created that. Men cannot create gold nor silver. So from that standpoint, gold and silver is precious, but it's corruptible. The apostle says we're not redeemed from our sins by corruptible things like silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus is precious. I've said this before. If you took one drop of the blood of Jesus and put it on heaven's scales on this side, and then you gathered all the gold and silver in this world and put it on the other side of the scales, which one do you think would weigh the heaviest? Which one do you think would be the most valuable? That precious blood, that one drop of Jesus' blood would far outweigh the value of all the gold and silver in this world. So we value the blood of Jesus that redeemed us from our sins. But beloved, the faith that God gave us when we were born of the Spirit is also very precious. The faith that God gave us enables us to believe that this book is God's book. How many of y'all believe this is God's book? Y'all think men just sit down and came up with all this? No. God divinely inspired men to write this book. And faith enables us to believe it. By nature, we wouldn't, but by the faith that God gives us, I believe every word that's in this book today. I don't read it and question it at all. Now, I don't understand it all, but I certainly do believe all of it is given by God, by divine inspiration. And faith is to our soul what our eyes are to the body. We believe in God. The Bible, Paul said in his letter to the Hebrews, he said, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. See, our faith in God enables us to believe in the unseen. There is an unseen world. And God is not visible to our natural eyes. His creation is. We see the heaven and the earth, and they declare the glory of God. But you and I can't see God with these natural eyes. It would blind us. far more than the Son would. But I want to tell you, by faith we believe in Him. And faith is precious. Thank God He gave us this precious faith that helps us to believe that when our loved ones are taken from us in death, we will see them again in the morning of the resurrection. How many of y'all believe that? You know how you believe that? By faith. Not by sight, but by faith. When I was visiting with Sister Heather Dykes yesterday, she said, "Brother Sam, the only thing that has sustained me in the loss of my husband," and he was 47 years old when that truck driver hit him and killed him. She said, "The only thing that has sustained me is that I know I'll see him again in the morning of the resurrection." Now, what enables people to believe that? This precious faith. Beloved, we love this life. We enjoy our lives on earth. But I want to tell you, it's fleeting. It's momentary. But we believe there's another world. And we're going there by the grace of God. And so this faith is very precious, that enables us to believe the Bible and believe in God and believe in heaven and believe that He is helping us every day and every hour. You know, you and I need to live by faith, not by sight, but by faith. We ought to be trusting in the living God. How many of y'all have problems today? I saw one hand go up. Back there, a young fella. But I know we've all got them, right? We've all got problems, whether it's health problems, financial problems, relationship problems, all kind of problems in this world. But I want y'all to know there's a God in heaven who can help us with all those trials and tribulations. And by faith, you and I ought to be trusting in Him and leaning on the everlasting arms. Now, Peter would say, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Beloved, the more you and I know about God, the more grace and peace we're going to experience in this life. You and I need to be knowing a lot more about God. You know, that's so important. A brother from Birmingham sent me a text this week. It was a devotional that he had written. And he said 49 years ago when his girlfriend was dating, now she's been his wife for 49 years, but he said when we were dating, we didn't live close to each other, but she would write me a lot. And he said, "I would run to the mailbox to see if she had sent me a letter." And he just loved getting letters from her. I used to get sweet letters from Nelda. How many of y'all have gotten sweet letters through the mail through the years? You enjoy that, don't you? Well, I want to tell y'all this morning, beloved friends, this book is a love letter from God. And you and I ought to be running to it daily and searching it and reading about God's love for us. Amen? We need to be growing in our knowledge of God. Listen to what he says. "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." And beloved, this book is all about God. And you and I need to be spending precious time in the Bible on a daily basis. Now, I know if you're busy and you got a job, you can't spend hours a day reading the scriptures. But listen, just 10 minutes alone with the Bible in the morning will get your mind in the right track for the rest of the day. It doesn't take long. Now, if you get up, wake up, first thing you do is look at your phone or turn the news on, that's probably not going to get you in a good mood. But this book, you and I need to be growing in our knowledge of God. And that's what this book is all about. Now, notice, "according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." I love that verse. "According as his divine power hath given to us, didn't offer it, but gave it to us, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Beloved, you know, in the early days of America, people did not have very many books in their home. They didn't have libraries they could do. The colonial people, you know, the book they had, it was this book right here. And they read it constantly. And the vocabulary of the Bible worked its way into the vocabulary of the early American people. And they used expressions that came from this book. And you and I really would be blessed today if we had a working knowledge of the Holy Scriptures. And you don't have to have a college degree to have it. You just need a Bible, and you need to spend time with it. Amen? And that knowledge of God will enrich your life on this earth. According to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. I like that song, Tell Me Again, as onward I go, Jesus has washed me whiter than snow. Don't y'all like that song? That's a beautiful song. Now, let's come down to verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now there, that word precious is used again. Exceeding great and precious promises. Did you know God's promises are not only great, they are precious? I might make you a promise. I might keep it, I might not. You know, there are promises made in this world by men that are not kept, either because the man can't keep it due to sickness or death, or he just absolutely lies to you. You know, people will lie. But I want to tell you, God's promises are not only great, they are precious. Precious. And what is one thing that God promised us? Well, Paul said in Titus, he said he has promised us eternal life in hope of eternal life. Eternal life. Did y'all get that? Not fleeting life, not mortal life, not life measured by birthdays, but eternal life. He says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Now that's a precious promise to me. I'm leaning on it today. And it's a precious promise. Now, notice he would say, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See, when God deals with us by his grace, he gives us a spiritual nature. We still have our old carnal, sinful nature, but we're given a divine nature, a new nature. And these two natures don't get along. The flesh and the spirit war with each other. But now, verse 5, and beside this, the Apostle Peter is saying now, beside all that God has done for us, and he's done so much, but beside all of that, he says now, I want you all to give attention to what y'all need to be doing. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now, faith is something God gives us, and we don't need any more faith than God has given us. Did you know that faith, as a grain of mustard seed, can move mountains? The problem with us is not that we need more faith. We just need to use the faith God has given us. You don't need more faith. You just need the faith that God has given you in the new birth. Now, he did not say add faith to faith. Watch me now. We're in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Not add faith to faith, but add to your faith some things that are very important in the Christian life. He says that we're to add virtue. And beloved, that is moral excellence. If you're a child of God and you have been saved by the grace of God and you've been given the promise of eternal life when this life is over, you are his. And you ought to be adding to your faith moral excellence. I know we live in a wicked world, and I understand that there's a lot of immorality in our world, and it's being encouraged through movies and music and the internet, etc. But if you're a child of God, you ought to be adding to your Christian faith a moral life. Amen? And you say, now, Brother Sam, you can't enjoy life if you're going to be moral. Well, I want to tell you, you're not going to enjoy life living immorally. I can assure you of that. Some of y'all may have heard of Chuck Swindoll. He's a preacher on the radio. I've been hearing him off and on for many, many years. And a while back, he told this story that he, in his life, he had gone somewhere to a Bible conference, and he was staying in this hotel by himself. And at night, he went down to the lobby to get a newspaper to take back to his room to read. And there were two attractive young women who winked at him while he was down there, and they were dressed immodestly. And they went to the elevator when he went to the elevator, and they got on the elevator when he got on the elevator. And he was gracious, and he punched number 6 for himself. He said, which floor would you ladies like to go to? And they said, 6 will do for us. Well, it doesn't take a smart man to know what's going on here. These two girls are trying to seduce Chuck Swindoll, a good man. And he said, for a moment, a fleeting moment, I was tempted. But then a scripture came to my mind from the Word of God, from Paul's letter to the Galatians. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And he said, that scripture came to my mind. And it occurred to me, what damage I would do to myself, to my family, to the church I pastor, if I yielded to this temptation. Now let me tell you, friends, sin has a pleasure for a season, but I can tell you it's only seasonal, and it brings heartaches beyond measure. Are y'all with me today? And that kind of stuff goes on all the time in our broken world. And thank God Chuck had a scripture planted in his mind that came to his rescue. See, the Apostle Paul said that the Word of God is our sword that we use in battling the enemy. Are y'all with me today? That's the only offensive weapon that Paul mentioned in the Christian armor that we are to wear. See, we're all involved in Christian warfare. Spiritual warfare is going on all the time. When you gain consciousness in the morning, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit may be there, and hopefully the Spirit is. Maybe an angel is there, but I can tell you demons are there, and they're wanting your attention. They're wanting to lead you away from God. And you and I just need to add to our faith moral excellence, virtue. And then he says, add to your virtue. What are you to add to your virtue? Knowledge. Knowledge, and he's not talking here about the knowledge you're going to get at the university or the college. I'm sure if you're going into a career that requires a college education, you need to go to college or to high school. But let me tell you, the knowledge that the Apostle Peter is talking about here is not talking about math and history and all of those subjects out there. He's talking about a knowledge of God's Word. And you and I need to be studying it every day. Are y'all with me this morning? See, one reason we come to church, why are y'all here today? Well, I hope it's because you love God and you want to worship Him. But let me tell you, we can't have a worship service without a Bible. We cannot have a service like the Holy Bible teaches unless we have an open Bible in our presence. We're not preaching from the New York Times or the Macon Telegraph or the internet. This is our authority and my responsibility. God called me as a boy to preach the Word. And Paul told Timothy, preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. And you all need to be here with your minds ready to absorb the Word of God and give attention to the Word of God. And you know what? We don't give tests when the service is over, but you need to give yourself a test and say, what did I get out of that today? What do I remember about that today? At my age, I have to take notes.
I do. And it helps me down the road. Add to your faith virtue or moral excellence. And to knowledge, and to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. That word temperance means self-control. You say, Pastor, I just can't help doing this or that. Yes, you can. You can with God's help. Amen? You can have self-control in your life. You don't have to turn yourself over to the devil, the flesh, and the world. But by God's amazing grace, you and I can be temperate in our life. And to temperance, patience. How many of y'all could use a little more patience? How many of y'all got all the patience you need? Well, you can't buy it at Walmart, but let me tell you, God can give us patience, but we can add patience to our life in this world. And I want to tell you, in your patience possess you your souls. We need to learn to wait on the Lord. He's not going to run at our call. He's not a heavenly bellboy. No, sir. Our God is in the heavens. And you and I just need to learn to wait on Him, that our strength may be renewed. I love the latter part of Isaiah chapter 40. Patience. And to patience, godliness. And then to godliness, brotherly kindness. Add these things to your life. Brotherly kindness. We're to be kind one to another. I love it when people are kind to me. I really do, and I want to be kind to others. We've got a little sign on our kitchen window that says, be kind. I need to have that. I need that reminder every morning. I want to be kind. Brotherly kindness. Add brotherly kindness. Don't try to outdo people that are mean. Just pray for them and show them kindness. And then add to that charity. In other words, charity or love in action. Not just word in thought, but word in action. Add charity to brotherly kindness. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are seven things the Apostle Peter tells us to add to our faith that God has given us in the new birth. And you may say, well, Brother Sam, I know I ought to be adding those things, but I sure am coming up short. I'm not all that I should be. And that's true with all of us. Anybody in the house today think you could score 100 on any of these? If so, raise your hand. We'll try to get you counseling because you obviously don't know yourself very well. We all come up short on all of these. But let me tell you an illustration that I heard many years ago, and I loved it, and it stayed with me all of these years. You may have heard me give this illustration, and if you'll give me a better one, I'll use it. But until then, I'm going to keep using this one. You know, a lady can cook a cake. And we have sisters here who can cook those 7, 8, 9, 10, 12-layer cakes. I don't know how high they can go. But let's say you got a 7-layer cake here, and every layer is placed one on top of the other. But none of those layers are going to be perfect. There's going to be cavities here, cracks there. None of those layers are going to be perfect. But when the cook gets out that chocolate, and they put it all over those layers. They cover every crevice, every crack. That chocolate, I say chocolate, there's other kinds of you could use, but that would be my favorite. But you get that chocolate out, and it covers all the imperfections. Are y'all with me today? Now let me tell you, beloved, you and I come up short on all of these. None of us have moral excellence to perfection. None of us have knowledge like we could have and need to have. None of us have patience perfectly. None of us have any of these things perfectly. But let me tell you, if your life is full of love for people, and people know you love them, and they see it in you, that just covers all their imperfections, doesn't it? I often think of Brother Cecil Daugherty. I was telling Nelda this week, we were talking about suffering, and we don't need to go around talking about all our problems to everybody. That's not going to help anybody. That's not a good testimony. And I said, Brother Daugherty would come in that door over there, and I knew personally he had some heartaches in his life. But he'd come in that door, and he'd have the biggest smile on his face. And you would think he'd never had a problem in his life. And he'd go all over this building speaking to people and hugging them and telling them he loved them. Let me tell you, Brother Daugherty wasn't perfect, but his love just kind of covered all of his imperfections. Are y'all with me this morning? I can tell you, Amanda, my daughter Amanda, I named her after Sister Mandy Chance. Some of you, well, none of you here today, I wouldn't think. Brother James Ray might remember Sister Mandy Chance. He was an elder. I mean, Josh Chance was an elder. I never knew him, but let me tell you, his wife, Mandy Chance, was one of the most loving people maybe the most loving people I'd ever known in my life. She was poor. Brother Josh died, he was not an old man when he died. He had been a preacher. Didn't leave her much of this world's goods. She lived poor. I remember going to her home. But I want to tell you, she was the most loving person you could ever imagine. And that love just covered all of her imperfections. You say, now, Brother Sam, that's not me. Yeah, but it could be. Amen. You say, I'm a long way from it. Well, get on the road. God will help us to add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. God will help us to add to godliness brotherly kindness, and He'll sure help us to add charity to our lives. How many of y'all are interested? Y'all can nod your head. You don't have to stand up and say, Brother Sam, I want to sign up. But you could just say, yeah, I'm interested. I'd like to be that kind of person. Well, I want to tell you, beloved friends, by God's grace, listen, He took Saul of Tarsus, who was a wild man, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against women and children, bringing them back to Jerusalem, throwing them in jail, and having some of them executed. God's grace changed that man into one of the most wonderful men that ever lived on this earth. God could do the same for us. Are y'all interested? Are you saying, nah, I just want to remain my old self? Well, good luck. But I want to tell you, God's grace. You know, I thought about this the other day. When we all get to heaven, Stephen, you remember Stephen was stoned to death as the first martyr of the Christian church. He was a deacon in the Jerusalem church, and men gathered and they put him in a stone pit and stoned him to death. And you know who consented to his death? Saul did. He held the garments of those that stoned him to death. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when Stephen and Paul get to heaven? See, if Stephen was thinking like we're thinking now, he would probably think, God, how did that wicked man get up here? I want to tell you, he got up there the same way you and I are going, by the grace of God. And I tell you, God's grace just makes me want to be a better person. It does. I don't want to live like this wicked world where it's dog eat dog, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. There's a better way to live, children. And now notice what he goes on to say. For if these things be in you and abound, these wonderful things, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know why God's got you and me on this earth? To bear fruit. And what kind of fruit does He want out of us? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance, faith. That kind of fruit the world needs desperately. Amen? I know that kind of life is not honored and respected in the world. I understand that. But I want to tell you,
in God's sight, it's honored. You know, people today will laugh at those old timers centuries ago who worshiped the stars. I mean, they'd go out and gaze the stars and they'd worship the stars and the zodiac. And we laugh at that. But let me tell you, America's worshiping stars today. Television stars, movie stars, sports stars, music stars, people just carried away with stars. And let me tell you, this world is not going to honor you if you're living this kind of Christian life. But I want to tell you, you'll be salt and light to this world. And it'll help save America. Amen? That's what America needs. God said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins. I will heal their lands. How many of y'all love America? How many of y'all love the lifestyle we have? Let me tell you, if you've got a little pocket change in your pocket today, or a dollar or two in your purse, did you know you're better off than the majority of people in this world? Listen, there are millions, billions of people in this world who know nothing about what we enjoy here in this country. And you say, well, it's ours and it'll be here forever. No, I want to tell you all this morning, beloved, these are dangerous times. I believe we've got a good president who loves America and wants to help, but I can see him aging when I see him on TV. Can you imagine the burdens he has? Let me tell you, Russia and China and India and North Korea, they all have nuclear weapons, powerful weapons. Do you understand that if God took away His divine providence and protection, we could be annihilated as a nation? You say, that would never happen to America. Yes, my friends, it happened to Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. It happened to the Medes and the Persians. It happened to Greece. It happened to Rome. And we're no greater than they were. You and I need divine protection. And I want to tell you, when you start adding these things to your life, you become a valuable member of America. And you're giving weight and value to this nation. And God recognizes it. God said to Sodom and Gomorrah, if you can find 10 righteous people there, I'll spare it. And they couldn't find even 10 righteous. And the judgment of God fell on it. And those cities were destroyed. Let me tell you, what I'm talking to you all about this morning, living a good Christian life, not only will bless you and your family, it'll bless our community. It'll bless our nation. How many of y'all want to live in a community where people love God and love one another and care for one another? How many of y'all want that? How many of y'all want to live in a family where everybody in the family just loves one another? See, he says, if you'll add these things, you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is going to hell? No, he didn't say that. These people are God's people, and they'll be in heaven by grace divine. But if they lack these things on this earth, they're blind, spiritually blind, and cannot see afar off, and they have forgotten that they were purged from their old sins. Beloved, I want to close this morning trying to bring this point home to all of us. The most valuable thing on earth that you and I know today is that we are children of God. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. We were redeemed by His precious blood at Calvary, and we're on our way to heaven. That's the greatest knowledge you've got today. And if you lose that, I'm going to tell you, darkness awaits you. Peter says, he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. See, he was purged, but he's forgotten about it. Satan would love to rob us of our sweet hope in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let me say this morning, beloved friends. You may just be what you consider an ordinary person. Maybe just a young kid in school, or you're a housewife or a full-time mom.
or you're a farmer, or you're an engineer, or doctor, lawyer, carpenter, plumber, electrician, preacher, whatever, and you just think, I'm just almost a nobody. The devil would like you to think that. But in his eyes, you are precious. Precious enough that he gave his son to die for you on the cross. I want you all to leave here today knowing who you are in Jesus Christ. And when some bully in school, and I'd say this to the kids today, and bullying is an awful thing. It went on when I was in school. But it's even worse today, infinitely worse on the internet. A lot of kids are taking their lives. That's right, committing suicide because they're being bullied unmercifully on the internet. I want these children, you parents, let your children know they're children of God. They're saved by grace. They're precious in God's sight. Are y'all getting this morning? I want my grandchildren to know who they are in Jesus Christ. They were known before the foundation of the world. They were chosen. They were given to Jesus. Jesus loved us and died for us on the cross. And now we are his children, saved by grace. And we're on our way to glory by his grace. I want y'all to know who you are in Jesus Christ. You know, when Jesus got baptized at the River Jordan, God broke the silence of heaven. He hadn't spoken in 400 years, and all of a sudden the voice of God himself spoke at the baptism of his son. And you remember what God said about Jesus? He said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." Now Jesus had lived a poor life, the carpenter's son, for 30 years in Nazareth of Galilee, just a quiet, unassuming life up there in the hill country, just a carpenter's son. But now, all of a sudden, he's going to step out on the public stage and become known as the Savior and the Redeemer. Can you imagine what it meant to his son Jesus to hear him say, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased"? Wow. Okay, 40 days later, he's led into the wilderness, and there for 40 days he fasts without food, water. And then the devil comes, the old tempter comes, and the first words out of Satan's mouth is, "If thou be." Now, wait a minute, he didn't say, "If thou be the beloved Son of God." He left that word beloved off. See, Satan didn't want Jesus thinking about himself as being beloved of the Father. He just said, "If." And that word "if" is an "if" of doubt. He wanted Jesus to question his sonship. Here he'd been without food 40 days. And Satan would say, "Listen, he fed the Hebrew people 40 years in the wilderness. Right out of heaven, he rained bread down out of heaven. And you're out here 40 days and he hasn't given you a crumb to eat? You think you're the Son of God?" Let me tell you, when you're going through trials and tribulations, Satan will try to get into your head and cause you to question God's love and God's goodness. Don't you listen to him. I'm here this morning to tell everybody in this house, you are beloved of God. Oh, if you could just see it, if you could comprehend it, how much God loves you, how precious you are to him. The world may not value you much, but God does. And I want you all to know, listen now, Peter would say, I don't want you all to be blind, and I don't want you to forget that you are the children of God. Y'all came here this morning, probably all kind of things going on in your minds. I hope the Lord has helped me to stir up your pure minds. Listen, you don't need to be occupied with yourself, good or bad. You need to be occupied with Jesus. See, when Satan comes and accuses me, and he can, I mean, I've got plenty of shortcomings, and Satan gets into my mind and says, you're a rotten sinner, Sam, and there's no way you could go to heaven. And I could say, yeah, Satan, you're right that I'm a sinner. But I want to remind you, I've got a glorious Savior. And He saved me from my sins. And Paul asked the question, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who's going to stand up in God's courtroom and charge one of the elect that Jesus bled and died for? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is on the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Do y'all see Jesus today? You need to keep Him on your mind now, I'm telling you. Don't keep yourself on your mind. See, if you get all obsessed with yourself, your insecurities, your weaknesses, your frailties, your failures, you'll just end up totally depressed and hopeless. But let me tell you, Jesus is my righteousness. He is. His righteousness was put to my account. And God sees me today as He sees His Son, righteous. I don't want to forget that, do y'all? But see, if you don't add these things, you can forget it. And may God help us today. Thank you all for your wonderful attention.